Blog Talk Radio.
TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Talk radio show.
Real talk. 801 in New Orleans, Louisiana. It is 901 here in Tampa, Florida. It's your hip-hop informer. That dude, TM Hyman. Hey, welcome to the show. It's the TM Hyman Radio Network. Hey, tonight we're up close and personal with Marvin Dozier. He's the CEO of Synergy First out of Miami, Florida. They do all types of cosmetic and other surgical procedures. We're living in a day where there's all type of augmentation taking place. Nip tuck. 917-889-3926 is the number where you can actually call and speak to the doctor tonight live. 917-889-3926. 917-889-3926. On the other side, the crew, the best daddy.
You are listening to the best edit, providing you with quality entertainment, inspiration, and information. We are TM Hyman Radio.
I'm gonna promise you that I'll be here.
tuned to Money Monday. It's November the 4th, 2013. We're up close and personal tonight with Marvin Dozier, owner of Synergy First out of Miami, Florida. The company assists with cosmetic and other types of surgical procedures. And we're going to talk up close and personal tonight with the CEO again, Mr. Marvin Dozier. Plus, we got Toya coming to you live out of Delaware with your Money Monday finance report. But first, all the way live from Itty Bitty Plant City, give it up. She back from that NSU homecoming. I saw you. Give it up, Hot Chocolate. Welcome to the show. Welcome back.
Phew, thank you. Oh, my gosh. I'm really glad that I even have a voice to do the show tonight because generally when I come back from homecoming, I leave my voice on the dance floor, at the day party, at, you know, the tailgate on the yard. So I was lucky to be able to bring it back with me. How's everybody doing tonight?
Glad you're back. It's just us hanging out in the studio right now.
Thank you.
Hey, James, I'm assuming we'll slip in sooner or later. Madam Boston, what up if you're listening? Jump on it, 917-889-3926. That's the number. If you want to talk to he's not a doctor, is he?
I will let him explain to you what he is. I believe he is an MD, but I believe it's an MD with specified certifications. So again, I don't want to misquote or give out any credentials. We'll let him clear all that up.
Mr. Marvin Dozier hanging out with us tonight, CEO of Synergy First out of Miami. Again, all type of cosmetic surgery procedures, all that. You know, down in Miami, you know, it's nip tuck every day, baby. And it's big dollars in it. Hey, I'll say this, I'm kind of blown by the amount of African-American women who are now going under the knife to enlarge their tatas. I had no clue that there were so many black women who were actually following this new trend of nip-tuck when it comes to the boobies. I thought black women, you know, had boobies naturally. I didn't think that black women wanted them any bigger than they already are. What is this about?
I don't know personally what it's about because I am happy with what God gave me. I think growing up, I felt like I always wanted more. But I was more blessed in the posterior area, you know, growing up. That's something that, and in a way, it kind of, you know, got on my nerves growing up because that was always what people made comment of. My booty. All right, fine, I got booty. But, you know, a lot of my other female family members were blessed with,
well, we like booty.
You know.
We like booty. So that's good. We like booty.
I don't mean no harm neither. I like booty too. It's not a problem. I can appreciate a female with a nice posterior. That's not a question, and that's not, you know, anything that I'm ashamed to say. But I felt left out because I had a very under average size breast size, I think, growing up. And as I got into my adulthood,
give us some visuals. When you say you had a very small cup size or breast size, what would get, like, I know what double D's are, so give us some letters.
No. I'm not no double anything. I am definitely a single cup. Before I had my sons, I was, I'm going to say, maybe a larger B cup. Pregnancy blessed me with a little bit more, so what I ended up with and what I still have now is like a mid-range C cup. The chicks that I know now, the females that I know, are buying double D sizes. And I have a lot of friends that are very small framed and small statured. So for these girls to have that large of a breast size, it's alarming to me. And I think, and I mean no disrespect to any other nationality, a friend that I have, But I really think that my black women have been jaded by what a nice breast size should look like. My personal opinion is that the cup size is getting out of hand. It doesn't have to be double. It can be something a little bit just, you know, slightly larger to enhance it if, you know, you want to complement better the way that your clothing fits or, you know, something like that. But just the drastic, I even know a young lady that went to a triple cup size, and it blew my mind. And there are young ladies who are born with those sizes that are having serious problems with back and spinal issues that are paying for reductions when y'all are going to pay to get it.
I don't quite get it. I've had two women in which, you know, I respect, or I think I respect them, or I respected them prior to them telling me what they wanted to do. No, I'm just, but I respect them. I was just taken aback. But I mean, I'm telling you, I mean, it made me, like, see them different because I thought that they were confident women. I thought that they were women who were comfortable with themselves. But at the end of the day, you know, both asked, you know, how did I think about it? And I'm like, why are you asking me? They said, because I know that you're not going to judge us. You know, judge me. These were two individuals that don't even know each other. But ultimately, because you're not going to judge me. Well, little did they know, I was judging them after they asked me that question. Because, I mean, this was the thing. And, no, I mean, not literally, but I just saw them different. And it's because I'm like, I personally think the size of your breasts is perfect. I think that it's fine. And why don't you see it as fine was the issue for me. And not even to talk about, you know, the issues that come with implants and they drip and people, you know, die in some cases. That might be a little extreme. But let's pause for the cause. We was missing him last week, ladies and gentlemen. He is here tonight. Give it up for that dude. Platinum award-winning, Grammy award-winning producer, artist, that dude, Nokio. Welcome to the show, brother.
What's good? What's good?
What up, Noke? You here to talk about the boobies?
Hey, buddy. I'm here to talk about what? The boobies.
The boobies.
Oh, what happened? What happened? For real? No,
you like, what happened?
What I missed?
I know, right?
Yeah, man.
Hey, our guest tonight is the CEO of Synergy First, which is a cosmetic a company that actually assists with cosmetic and other surgical procedures down in Miami. And so we were talking about how I was a little taken aback by, you know, so many African-American women who are getting breast implants. I didn't know that so many were interested, and I personally don't understand why they even feel the need. So that's what the discussion has been thus far.
Okay, yeah, no, it's a whole lot of them getting a whole bunch of stuff, for real, but, you know, it's a lot of them out there right now, a lot.
And so the issue, the question was why? Why is there so much augmentation taking place? Is it society? I mean, is it a new fad? What is it? I'm trying to figure out how can they afford it, first of all.
Chicks are taking income tax returns, student loan refunds, bonuses at work, just personal
dates.
That too. The young lady that I know, I won't say her name, but she is a very good friend of mine. She's actually had to have the procedure done, I'll say it's a total of 3 times because it was the breast aug, because the first one, the tissue, I want to say, on her right breast started to encapsulize the implant. Like, the scar tissue was like trying to reject it, I guess. So they had to go back in, clean up the scar tissue, put in another set, and then something happened with that, with, like, she was bleeding internally because of it, and then they had to go back in, do something else the very next day, and do it again. So she's had 3 sets. And that's a very scary thought when, you know, you're not happy with the body that God gave you, but now you're kind of scarred for trying to have an augmentation just to enhance something a little bit. And it, I don't think like that's worth it. I think you could have gone and got a fantastic water bra, Victoria's Secret push-up, whatever you wanted to do, and it would have been just as fine.
Not water bra push-up. Hey, we'll be right back. TM Hymen Radio Live. Up close and personal with Marvin Dozier tonight.
From my nigga Diddy view, I think I see his vision too. Purple rain over Central Park, chillin' with my homes. Big boxes, Sade's, the rocks and Chardonnays. My gassy, sassy, so I pay off my balloon. We doing it big, it's going down 9-11. I'm doing it big, pulling up in the 9-11. I've been trying to fuck for months, baby girl, it's now or never. Got the condo on the beach, so through our storms, we shot weather. We shining when it's pitch dark. Yeah, this bitch a movie, but this time I play a big part. Fuck the market and look at what I'm accomplishing. I'm beating niggas by margins bigger than friends talking.
All these cars, all these stars all around me. Put your eye to the sky, that's where you'll find me. Cause we are superstars. Ooh, yeah. Ooh, yeah.
Bring your sexy ass here, baby. I wanna buy my bitch every bag, and she ain't ever, ever, ever gotta take them back. I wanna take my bitch around the globe, Hawaii hand gliding in the mountains, shitting on these hoes. Red bottles by the barrel, popping Giuseppe tags like it's American Apparel. 20,000 up in bindings, haters are never harming. Rick Owens army, bombers for my whole army. Anile, anile, baby move fast. Keep dropping down and bring it back, I like that, I like that. I wanna buy my bitch every bag, so she ain't ever, ever, ever gotta take them back.
All these cars, all these stars all around me. Put your eye to the sky, that's where you'll find me. Cause we are
super tough. Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you're looking for me, you can find me in the Guinness Book. Only fly bitches ride with the boss, take a look. I'm super fly, I'm super high. You getting yours, I'm getting mine.
Ooh, women of a caliber, only seen in magazines and calendars. And I'm sitting with no socks over, my birthday's in October. Ooh, a strawberry and a rosé, I can see it in her eye. Yeah, she wink and she toast me. So later on we gonna mosey to a place less populated and get chosen.
If you're looking for me, you can find me in the Guinness Book. Only fly bitches ride with the boss, take a look.
Put your eye to the sky, that's where you'll find me.
If you're looking for me, you can find me in the Guinness Book. Only fly bitches ride with the boss, take a look. I'm super fly, I'm super high. You getting yours, I'm getting mine.
TM Hymen Radio Live. It is 9:20 p.m. here in Itty Bitty Plant City, and I am on with the general himself, TM Hymen, our A&R wonder, super platinum, Grammy Award-winning producer, Nokio, the entity, and myself, Hot Chocolate. And we are also going to be joined shortly by Marvin Dozier. He is the owner, CEO of a very well-known surgical group in Miami that does a lot of...
I think he's on. I think he's on.
All right, Mr. Dozier, are you there? Mr. Dozier? Paging Dr. Dozier, Synergy First Assistance, paging Dr. Dozier.
Okay, there may be something wrong with his line because it looked like he just dropped off. So we'll have him to join back.
Okay, once again, he's the owner and CEO of Synergy First Assistance in Miami. And tonight our topic that we're weighing in on is the boom or the surgence of the plastic surgery craze, I'll call it, on both ends. And it's not even just really breasts or bottoms. There are a lot of different, I don't want to call them strange because everyone, you know, has their thing, but people get implants all over their body. Like, I've heard of weightlifters and, you know, bodybuilders who are getting calf implants and hamstring implants to make, you know, the definition of those areas. I don't know. It's just amazing to me what sort of augmentations people are looking to get in this day and age. And Dr. Dozier, are you with us?
Yes, this is Marvin.
He's there. Wonderful.
Welcome, sir.
Great show.
Thank you, and we're glad to have you.
I apologize for the technical difficulties there, but thanks for joining us tonight.
Yeah, I had a little bit of a technical delay. That was my fault. I appreciate you guys having me on the show. I guess I should start off by advertising my profession. I'm not a surgeon, but I am a certified surgical assistant, and that's actually a group of non-physician first assistants. And what we do assist surgeons from different specialties in surgery. So when most of your time you have surgery, you would have another pair of hands in there on the case or with you, and typically it will be a physician assistant or someone like myself, a surgical assistant. Very popular profession.
Thanks for that clarification.
Yeah, definitely, because I was still unclear about that. Now, how long has Synergy been in business? How long have you been in the Miami area?
We've been in business since 2006, and we cover surgeries from Miami, a little bit further north, all the way up to West Palm, Fort Lauderdale, West Palm Beach, and into Martin County near Fort Pierce.
Okay. Now, we won't just discuss plastic surgery or augmentations. We can talk about all levels of the assisting that you would be doing, as well as, you know, a few questions, if you don't mind fielding them, about how your business or practice could be affected by the changes that are coming forth with Obamacare and the type of insurances that will be offered to people and what they'll cover. Now, my question to you is, how much of your business deals with cosmetic augmentation?
I would say about 30% of what we do is cosmetic.
Okay. And do you also do different levels of cosmetic augmentation? Like I was just talking about a few minutes ago, there are some people, men and women both, in the bodybuilding, you know, muscle definition type of thing, who are doing hamstring implants and, you know, calf implants and things like that. Do you do things that extreme?
Regina, you'd be surprised at the things people get done. I was listening earlier, and you guys were discussing about how people with, you know, naturally what some people consider beautiful bodies are getting things done to their body. It will probably be against my profession to say they should probably just leave it alone, but a lot of people feel as though if you have the money, they have the knife. I actually did one of the first butt augmentations in the Atlanta area back in 2005, 2006, and that was a pretty interesting case. We removed that from the female's flank area, or abdominal area, and injected it into her buttocks. So she went from Cameron Diaz to Serena Williams in about 4 or 5 hours.
I don't think I would be opposed to doing that because that's my natural body fat. That's not anything that's unnatural, as like with the implant that could possibly be rejected. I think there would be more of the opportunity, or less of a chance, we'll say, for it to reject because it is your natural body fat. Is that true?
It won't get rejected, but this is what we have to remember. When you take fat, it's organic, and it will get reabsorbed back into your body. So what happens is it looks nice for about 6 months to maybe 18 months, and then once it starts to absorb back into your body, because your body will metabolize that fat, and you either need to have it again or be satisfied with what you have left over, what fat didn't get absorbed in.
Okay.
So it's not a permanent fixture.
Now, Doc, you just mentioned the first butt augmentation you did, but here recently in Florida, and you're down in Miami, so I'm sure you're aware of this, I saw that there was someone convicted of doing butt augmentations, but they were using Fix-A-Flat and crazy glue. Am I lying, or is
that
a very true story out of Miami?
No, that
is a true story.
That's an absolutely true story. And you have a few people who in the South Florida area who I'm not sure where they come from, so I won't put any stigma on that, but they have some medical training, and they feel they can do things they probably shouldn't be doing without a medical license, i.e., injecting silicone, Fix-A-Flats, TAM, cooking oil into
the
butt.
Did you say TAM? Oh, wait. Time out. Did you say PAM, like what I coat my cookie sheet with when I'm baking cookies? Or
absolutely. They'll use it for lip injections and to fill out the wrinkles in your face. I haven't personally seen it, but I've heard tell of it, and it's actually scary. So anytime that you see a doctor or a dentist, make sure you check their credentials to make sure they are, who they say they are. My profession, we have a very strict credentialing policy. I mean, it was easier for me to go in the Army than it was to become a surgical assistant. I mean, they check everything. And they also, they also check up on your training and make sure you have continuing education. But it's really amazing. I just want to expound upon what you said earlier about as far as, black women or African-American women getting more surgery done. It seems as though, like, the tables have turned without sounding too stereotypical. It used to be, I know in Virginia, you can relate to this growing up in Virginia, back in that time frame, it wasn't popular to be dark. And it wasn't popular to have big lips. And it wasn't popular to have a big butt. Now, here we are 25, 30 years later, people are wanting big butts and big lips and getting dark. So I think it's kind of like the old thing where, you have people who have curly hair, they now want straight hair, and vice versa.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Hey, coming up, we got health and wellness out of Delaware tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, we are up close and personal with Mr. Marvin Dozier, CEO of Synergy First. If you have questions, he has the answers, 917-889-3926. 917-889-3926. Nokia, Drew Hill, hanging out with us. Hey, this is a new day because at one point only celebrities could afford these augmentations. Hey, now we all can get them.
What?
Just make sure you're going to somebody who can really do the job. You don't want Fix-A-Flat in your butt. We'll be right back.
Once one but you in crowded rooms. We can do anything. Protect their heads can drive you crazy. And the way you move when you go crazy, that's incentive for me.
Everybody, you locked in the TM Hyman radio show right now here with the crew and Mr. Marvin Dozier from Synergy First, and we're talking about big movies, butt shots, Six the Flat, and Pam.
Oh my God, so well put, Nokia, so well put.
I mean, the correlation is just not happening, bro. Right now.
I'm baffled by the Pam. Now, the Fix a Flat and the glue thing I heard about. And for those that don't know, the situation involved a transgender, I don't know if it's post-op or pre-op or whatever, transgender person who was presenting themselves to be a certified doctor or person who's able to do this, because I don't know on what level you're just able to do these augmentations or what have you, but this person.
Okay, look, I can understand getting a tattoo somewhere where, like, over your boy house at a hotel, because some of these people be having parties and shooting each other's butts up, whatever. But, like, just not something you just go do something. Like, I'm trying to get the cheap one, so I'm going to go do it.
Well, see, that's unfortunately what ended up happening. They tried to go the cheap route, and, you know, that's the result that they got. And these women were seriously disfigured, like very, very
badly.
One even
died. One died.
Yes.
One actually died.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And there's one here in Tampa.
You can't really totally blame the person doing the surgery, because if you go to a dentist, and the waiting room is the living room, and the OR is in the garage, that should be your first clue.
Right.
Sit down, Billy. You can't do that, you know?
Like, no,
I'll
just
right there.
Yeah, that should be the
crazy, because There was one female that was recently interviewed, and she's right here in Tampa, a victim of the lady from Miami. And she said she really believed and trusted that this person was going to do the job, and she didn't think anything was wrong until her rear end turned to concrete. It was hard as a rock.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
when she knew yeah. something was wrong.
But you're not
well,
going to go
somewhere and get your teeth fixed
like that.
She should have known something was wrong when she knocked on the door and she saw what the person's buttocks looked like that were giving her the injections, because that was not right. What I saw on the news when the person actually got sent, and the person got sentenced to, I want to say, like 3 years probation,
2 years,
and a year,
2 years,
and I can't say what he, she, I don't want to say it wrong, but the person is not going to do any jail time. There, it's just probation.
No.
So.
The person gave somebody concrete, but
oh yeah,
right.
fix a flat and glue.
Yeah, that's bad. Come on now.
So if you're going to spend the money.
Yeah, you get what
you
pay for.
You can't go the cheap route. You can't go the cheap route with certain things, Mr. Doja. With the services that you offer. What type of counseling goes in, you know, to a session before you actually, you know, take somebody under?
Well, the way my practice works is the surgeon, the patient will find the surgeon, and then the surgeon chooses us to assist. So pretty much the only counseling, any type of education that we do will be pretty much during the pre-op interview. And if they have any further, you know, people get nervous and they may have some last-minute questions, that's when we kind of, you know, put it in layman's terms for them, because some people in our profession, they'll tend to use, you know, big words or words that the people don't really can relate to. So I try to put it in layman's terms for them. Many times, many of our patients are women, and we focus on women's health care quite a bit. So I try to put it in terms that they can understand without being, you know, condescending. And we explain what's going to happen, what to expect, and what they should do, you know, full stop for a successful outcome. Because a lot of time and work and training goes into doing performing a proper surgery, but then when the patient, you know, post op, they start to feel just a little bit better. They want to go skydiving, you know, and you can't do that. They should want to go back to work right away, but you have to let your body heal for a proper outcome.
Right.
You have to give it time to heal.
Now, have you ever refused to do a surgery for anyone for any reason?
Yes.
Okay. And without giving, I guess, too much of the personal side of it, what was the reason?
Hey, he turned down that penis augmentation. I ain't doing that.
Oh my God.
They requested a Friday fix-a-flat augmentation. I said, no, well, I can't do that. No, due to HIPAA regulations, I'd rather not get into any specifics about that because, you know, some people put two and two together, and then, it's, you know, so I hope you all can understand and respect that.
Absolutely, absolutely. So what is the most strange augmentation you've done? Can you share that with us?
I can't say that I've had a strange augmentation. I've had a few patients who we've actually done reductions on, and I think she was like a triple.
Wow. Triple anything.
Man, whatever come after that is like.
Whatever. It was huge. I mean,
really?
She had like custom bras made, and she had like, you know, they call it trenching right between her, you know, her neck and her shoulder blade, her shoulders. And I felt really bad for her because she was, I mean, when we weighed the tissue that came out, it was, I think it was like 1,500 grams.
Oh,
so
my God.
Just the tissue. She had like 7 or 8 pounds on one side, and it was more, I'm sorry, not 1,500 grams. I'll give it to you in pounds. She had about 8 to 12 pounds of tissue that we took off of her, removed from her breast.
Wow.
That's
and
a lot. Oh, my
that's
God.
That's not even like a motorboat. That's like a barge.
Yeah.
She said. And a large barge.
Yeah. I feel really bad for her, basically. She just was stretching really bad. And, some, and, you know, then you go along with, like, the back and the spine problems and the social stigma.
Right.
And there's a lot that goes into it when you – but, it does, you know, I feel so much better for them when they, you know, you get done and you can just – you immediately know that you've done something good for someone and they're going to have a better quality of life afterwards.
Right.
Right, right. And so I know we're having fun and we're making jokes, but – I mean, this is a real business, folks. This is a real surgical assistant. Mr. Marvin Dozier, actually CEO of Synergy First in Miami, where there are real surgical procedures going down by professionals. And if you are interested and have questions, please hit them up. Marv, how can we follow you? What's the number where listeners can actually call you to get more information about the services?
Well, we have a website. That would be the best route is synergyfirstassistance.com, S-Y-N-E-R-G-Y, first, F-I-R-S-T-A-S-S-I-S-T-A-N-T-S.com. You can Google it. We'll pop right up. And I always invite anyone, if they're interested in any type of surgical questions or what to expect or even interested in becoming a surgical assistant or in education for that, please call me at 888-540-5553. We'd be more than happy to.
One more time.
We'll
repeat that one more time.
888-540-5553.
Marv, if you can stand by, hang out with us for a few minutes longer, man, just a few more questions. Ladies and gentlemen, you are in tune to TM Hyman Radio Live. It's Money Monday. We're up close and personal with Marvin Dozier of Synergy First. Up next, we got Toya live out of Delaware with your Money Monday finance segment. We'll be right back. TM Hyman Radio Live.
Yeah, yeah. Hey. Burner. Hey. Yeah, she got that holy ghost, burner, Chico. She got that holy ghost, look. Yeah, there's no reason to fight it. Them hoes hating in silence, said them hating hoes be quiet. Yeah, you messing with some lames, got you tired and misguided. Hey, baby, you so fly, I'm asking, can I be your pilot? Yeah, you tired of dealing with lames, playing all them little boy games. He thinking he the shit, but without you, girl, he just the same. Yeah, you looked at his car, and you thought he had been staffed. Then his mind must call and said, well, you better bring my shit back. But anyway, forget that. I'm trying to see what your heart like. You fooling with these jokers, well, I can be your dark knight. Hey, don't expect that same shit. I go all right. That mean I'm retired from that bullshit like car right. I'm potent, I know this. I'll poke you with doses of potion. I know it's gonna be hard to focus. I go in, take a break and then go again. She told me that she was wet, so I spread the water like Moses.
She ride all night and ride all day. I think about her as I lay. She got that good Lord have mercy. Oh God, she ride, Lord, please help me. She got that holy ghost. Good Lord, good Lord, good Lord, good Lord.
She got that holy ghost.
Good Lord, good Lord, good Lord, good Lord.
She got that holy ghost.
Good Lord, good Lord, good Lord. She got it. Soon as I get invited, I get so excited. She wetter than the seven seas, and she want my one eye pirate. I know lusting is a sin, but see, it's sort of ironic, cause I don't wanna go to hell, but I'm addicted to her.
on fire, see I roll up, show up. My problems turn to sober, and every time it go down, my third eye will go up. I go deep, she tell me that she about to throw up. I tag it, I beat up that dragon like show enough. I like it, I like it, these other hoes can't touch it. And I remember you when you was down before I busted. Ain't nothing else can change us, can't nothing else come change us. I never pitch ball, so I would never change. She ride all night and ride all day. I think about her as I lay. She got that good, Lord have mercy. Oh God, she ride, Lord, please tell me. She got that Holy Ghost. Good Lord, good Lord, good Lord, good Lord. She got that Holy Ghost. Good Lord, good Lord, good Lord.
Nine forty-eight p.m. here on the East Coast, 6:48 p.m. on the West Coast, and you are tuned into the T.M. Hyman Radio Network. That was our resident A&R specialist, Nokio, with Holy Ghost. And if you would like to submit your original music for our A&R session with Grammy Award winner, artist, producer Nokio from Drew Hill, live here on T.M. Hyman Radio, email your MP3 file to tmhymanradiolive@gmail.com, and we'll send you an email confirmation once we've received it. We are the T.M. Hyman Radio Network, and without further ado, here is our love, Toya, with our Money Monday segment. Hey, Toya.
Hello, good evening, you guys. This week I was going to keep it a little light. For the past couple of weeks we've been pretty serious. I'm talking about everything from budgets to overdraft fees to credit card scores. So today I just wanted to give you guys a few tidbits on how to save a few dollars when shopping, especially when the holiday season is right around the corner. Just a few things that may help you, especially if you're someone who likes to shop online. One of the websites that I absolutely love that I tend to use like every day I go on looking for objects is Groupon.com. This site is actually the best site for goods. You can get anything from a pair of sunglasses to watches to jewelry and household items. So that's Groupon.com, Groupon.com. The only downfall about this site is when you see an item, you definitely have to buy it right then and there. Everything is timed, so you may have a few hours to purchase it, up to a day, up to a week. But a lot of the good items usually sell out pretty fast, so that's a good site to actually look into. Another one is DealChicken.com. Yes, DealChicken, DealChicken.com. This site's great for local deals, anything from food and restaurants, to local getaways, home service, car services, beauty, et cetera. That site is great for purchasing things in your local area. LivingSocial.com. This is a great site for health and fitness deals, social outings, another great site for restaurants and local getaways. You can, especially if you love wine, Living Social usually has a lot of wine tastings and tours going on in the area that you can find specials for. So I'm always on LivingSocial.com looking for those. Ideally.com, I-D-E-E-L-I.com. If you are what some people like to say, a label junkie, someone who loves designer names, this site's really good for you. You actually do have to register and sign up for the site to get email notifications about what deals will be going on, but it's great. Deals are offered on the site for men's and women's clothing and jewelry, and it's always designer. So that is really, really something you should look into if you love names. Another thing that you can actually look into is Overstock.com. I'm sure you've probably seen commercials for this. You can find a lot of home and furniture items. A lot of men's and women's clothing is also available on this site. So Overstock.com is really, really good for home and furniture items. And the last one I wanted to share with you is RetailMeNot.com. I'm someone who likes to shop online because I don't like dealing with a lot of people. So if you like to shop online, this site is good for you because it provides coupon codes for everything from discount percentages to free shipping. So that's definitely something that you want to look into, especially around the holiday season, because it will offer a lot of different coupon codes that you can use on everything from Amazon.com to The Gap. So they offer a variety of coupon codes and discount codes that's shared on the website for any type of site you can think of. So, again, just a few tidbits. The websites, again, are dealchicken.com, groupon.com, livingsocial.com, ideally.com, overstock.com, and retailmenot.com. And it's also a great way to start your Christmas shopping now because, yes, it is Christmas right around the corner. It is November. So you can get designer goods and high-priced items for next to nothing through these sites. So that's something you might want to start doing now instead of waiting until the last minute to shop for Christmas. And that's all I have for you this evening.
Thank you, Toya, live out of Delaware tonight with our Money Monday tips. Hey, it's the holidays, everybody. Can you believe it's November? Thanksgiving's
already.
Yeah. Christmas is around the corner. Hey, it's,
you have less than
right
8 days to get it together.
Wishing you a smile.
5, that is our friend to the show, Mac Wild, and the Sober Up. There was a lot of that going on over the weekend at Norfolk State Homecoming, but we're not going to talk about that right now. We're going to continue to chop it up with our guest, Marvin Dozier, CEO and owner of Synergy First Assistance in Miami in the Fort Lauderdale area. And Marvin, you mentioned well, once again, I'm sorry, thank you for joining us. And you mentioned the... You mentioned the, I'm sorry, and we're also here with the General T.M. Hyman and Nokia, our A&R specialist, Toya, if she's still there, our Money Monday specialist as well. Wanted to know about the type of education or the amount of education that it actually took for you to get to where you are. If there's anyone out there that's listening that wants to look into getting into this sort of practice, what type of education should they be in store for?
Well, to start off, I mean, I was trained in the Army, so I was fortunate enough to get into a military specialty where I could use in the civilian world. But I trained in the Army. I would suggest if anyone wants to become a surgical assistant, that they first spend a few years as a surgical technician, and they're the ones who set up the room. They pass instruments. They learn all the procedures, and it sets a great foundation. Or even like a couple years of prerequisites before becoming an assistant. Once you've done that and you kind of mastered your craft, then I was just going for another 2 years of training for a surgical assistant, for surgical assistant certification. That's for what we call it, for a CSA. So it's 2 years beyond becoming a surgical technician.
Okay, and you
exactly
also mentioned that there's...
Go ahead, Hachako.
I was just going to say that there's ongoing training that you have to continue on with as well, continuing education, I should say.
Yes. It's required that we complete, I think it's 60 hours every 2 years. And with the medical field, it's ever-changing. So anytime there's, like, new devices, new procedures, new techniques, we're always pretty much traveling or doing something online or taking different classes and courses to stay to stay up to date and stay abreast of what the latest technology and latest studies and latest in research is showing us.
It was actually a surgical assistant program at Eastern Virginia Medical School in Virginia that I realized I was not going to be a doctor. I thought I was going to be real fly MD one day, went into a surgical assistant program, actually studied under Dr. D.L. Britt. I'm not sure if you're familiar with who Dr. D.L. Britt is, but he was the first first African-American chief of surgery in the country. And I observed a brain surgery and a rectal duct replacement, almost passed out, had no clue that I couldn't even deal with blood.
Yeah,
it only takes one good opportunity like that, then that'll make you or break you.
Eastern Virginia Medical School, that's the crown jewel of surgical assistant schools. As a matter of fact, they just got approved to where now it's a master's degree program. So it kind of elevates the profession up there right with the physician assistant. So at Eastern Virginia Medical School is actually a master's program now. So we're pushing towards the same level of respect and recognition as a physician assistant. But don't forget the crown jewel. We just had our association meeting there last April.
It's an awesome school. I thought I was going to be an awesome student, but clearly I was foolish in my thinking.
Oh, yeah. And if you pass out on that, you're not going to make it anywhere past that. You forget it.
Nah, so, you know, I'm going to have to be another type of doctor, but it won't deal with blood.
So, Marvin, again, tell our listeners if they're interested in anything having to do with surgical technology, please let them know how they can get in contact with you.
Sure. We're available pretty much all the time. I think our website is a very good resource for, you know, to get any kind of information. And that website is synergyfirstassistance.com. And we also can be reached via email and phone. The email is on the website. And my phone number is 888-540-5553. And we're more than happy to help in any way that we can, or explain any questions that you may have, or even get a second opinion if you are having any questions about any type of surgery that we specialize in. We don't do hearts, we don't do eyes, but we do robotic surgery, we do general GYN, plastic surgery, orthopedic, pediatrics, and we highly specialize in robotic surgery, the Da Vinci robot.
And before you go, just in following you and in us, by the way, people, Marvin is a very good friend of mine that I actually went to Green Run High School with, so I've had the pleasure of knowing this good man for many, many years, and he's always been a very forward-thinking, very well-educated, kind of go-getter type of person. And this procedure that I'm going to ask you to tell our listeners about actually has me thinking about looking into it for myself. It's not any type of surgical augmentation. It's a different non-invasive option to a hysterectomy. Is that right, Marvin?
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
It's not a hysterectomy is invasive because you have to go inside the abdominal pelvic cavity. But there are a couple procedures that, well, the options for hysterectomy, one, there's a regular open procedure, which everyone's familiar with. You have a little, you have an incision about 4 inches long, just below your belly button, right above your pubic area. That's called an open hysterectomy. There's also a, what they call a robotic hysterectomy that uses the Da Vinci robot. You have four small incisions varying between 5 millimeters and 8 millimeters. In your abdominal area, and the robot and the uterus can be removed via the vagina, or it can be moved through a process called morcellation, which is basically it's pulled out, chopped up and pulled out in layman's terms. And there's also a one that's fairly recent. It's called it's a cosmetic approach to hysterectomy. And this one, there's no scarring. There's a small incision made in your belly button. 2 5-millimeter trocars go in, and everything is done intradominally, and then the uterus comes out through the vagina. So there's absolutely no scarring. I think that if I were a woman needing a hysterectomy, and I was very concerned about my appearance, or I wore bikinis, I had an open belly, I would choose that route. Is that what you're speaking of, Gina?
Yeah. I think my interest came more so in the fact that I think the recovery time you said was a lot less than, you know, your standard hysterectomy. I've heard horror stories about the other options to a standard hysterectomy, like I myself had the rollerball surgery, the endometrial ablation, and I fell in the unfortunate 30 percentile that it didn't really work for. It gave very temporary relief, maybe in the total of a year, and then I went back to the same symptoms that I had that led me to even seek that type of surgery. You know, heavy bleeding, a lot of pain during my cycles. You know, sorry for the men who are going to pass out at the talk of all this, but you know, clotting, just really bad, just very bad, a week every month of my life that was basically taken away from me. So I'm at the point of my life right now where, you know, I'm not going to have any more kids. You know, I'm not interested in any of that. And I want to stop having to suffer for so long and don't really want to go through the hormonal treatment because I don't want the side effects of that. So there's another procedure, and I forgot what it's actually called, but it involves insertion of a wand into your vaginal cavity and your cervix, and it, like, vibrates for like 45 seconds and does the same thing kind of in the burning or the scarring of the uterine wall, and that's supposed to give you the same type of relief. But I have a coworker that went through that same thing. They tried to do it twice, and they couldn't get her cervix to dilate enough to even have the procedure. So she's left to pay for a procedure that she didn't even get or they couldn't even do because of that fact. So it just – I'm looking for something that's not going to give me the chance of all of those. I mean, there's a chance of it not working or not being able to be done in everything, but that just was so traumatizing to me, and I it wasn't even me. I didn't even go through it. She just told me about it. But I can't imagine that. I don't know why her cervix wouldn't have dilated.
Let me share this. Let me share this with you. And please, I'm going to have to put this disclaimer out there that what I'm about to say is not official medical advice, and it shouldn't be misconstrued as such. It is basically just my opinion as someone who has experienced and seen quite a few of these different procedures. There's always risk with any surgery. Anytime you go under an act, there's always risk involved. Everything you do in life has a risk. I think what you're speaking of is called endometrial ablation, and there's different ones, different types of do it, way to do it out there. They go in and they basically coagulate the ovarian, your fallopian tube, so that you don't have a cycle. There have been many success. They're more successful than unsuccessful. And some women tend to have a very stenotic cervical os, which is the opening to the cervix. Now, that could be for any particular reason. Everyone's anatomy is different. Some are very soft. Some are very hard. So she was having issues with her her cervix. Then that just happens. She just has that type of anatomy where it didn't work.
Right.
But most ones I've seen, they have been very successful, and you do keep your uterus and you do keep your ovaries, so you don't have to worry about any type of hormone augmentation therapy as far as that's concerned. I think what you're speaking of is where they go and they basically block it off, so you don't have a cycle anymore, especially those with heavy menorrhagia or heavy bleeding. Or uncomfortable bleeding.
Right. Now, the procedure I had involved the saline that was heated to, I guess, is 98 degrees. Hers was actually with the wand, so that's why I couldn't understand it. Of course, I'm not a doctor, so I wouldn't have, but it just sounded so odd to me.
Yeah. Well, Marv, can you give out that 800 number again? One, give us the hot chocolate so she can call you and talk to you about clots. All that stuff on her own time. But for others who may be having the same questions, one more time, what's that 800 number to Synergy First?
He's going to faint. He can't faint.
Oh, you're funny, right? It's 888-540-5553, and that's for Marvin. And I'm going to say this, if we don't get to the phone right away, leave a message and I will get back to you. We have a very busy surgery schedule. But we always have time for the public, for everybody out there. So, I want to say thank you, and I'm honored to be invited to be on your show, one of my fellow Spartans, Regina. Appreciate that. See you next year.
Of course.
It's great to see you doing good things and growing like that. I really appreciate that. Appreciate it about you.
You, bro. Anytime we down there in that Miami area, I'm down there often. May stop past just to
hit
say hello. So
just, hit me up. We'll go out to dinner and we'll hang out. I don't do the too much. We can go eat a good meal.
Hey, that's what it is.
That's
bro.
What I'm talking
that's
about. You know we like to eat.
Thanks for hanging out with us. Ladies and gentlemen, up close and personal night with Mr. Marvin Dozier, CEO, Synergy First. Hey, website one more time, Marv.
Website, www.synergyfirstassistance.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, hit them up if you're interested. It is 10:11. We'll be right back.
Yo, what's that dude say, James? When I'm not doing push-ups and shots, I'm giving out free pap smears in the back in between sets on TM Hyman Radio Live. This is the station where you get it all in one stop. Get at us, TM Hyman Radio.
World's famous. You're now listening to Skateboard P and the Louis Vuitton Dime.
I'm back.
It's so unfair, so unreasonable. Go.
I must have hurt your feelings.
Come on.
Your temper hit the ceiling. You know I wanna talk to you.
Get him, please.
Oh girl, come on.
Come
but the name ain't this living.
Come on.
Cause
come
I know this not giving.
Come
you know I got lots to do.
Come on,
I know this party pretty, but you know I'll be busy. That's why I can't talk long on the phone. So honey, if you with me, know I work for your pretty face to smile when I get home. And when we make love, you know it's gonna be your man, cause you're my number one.
Baby girl, you and me,
smash it.
That's a hit to me.
Off the charts,
look how she get to me. She might be nothing to you, but she to me. Tell me how you love that. Number one, can't put none above that. You deserve a verse from me. We gon' party like it's our anniversary. Go.
Didn't I just tell you
go.
That you're my Cinderella?
Get
my dream only fits one side.
Come on.
Oh girl,
come on.
You know I'd rather be where you are. You are my shining star. But last night, that just wasn't right.
Oh, girl, come on.
I know this party's pretty, but
come
you
on.
Know I'll be busy. That's why I can't talk alone on the phone. So honey, if you with me, know
yeah.
I work for your pretty.
Everybody,
face smile when I get home.
Everybody say,
one.
Baby girl, you and me,
smash it.
That's a hit to me.
Off the charts,
look how she get to me. She might be
classic.
Nothing to you, but she the to me. Tell me how you love that.
Dash
number
it.
One, can't put nothing above
that.
You deserve a verse from me. We gon' party
it.
Like it's our anniversary. Go,
number one.
Baby girl, you and me,
smash it.
That's a hit to me.
Off the charts,
look how she get to me. She might be
classic.
Nothing to you, but she the to me. Oh. Tell me how you love that. Number one, can't put nothing above that. You deserve a verse from me. We gon' party like it's our anniversary.
Go.
Yesterday I was half the man you see. Maybe that's because you the other half of me. You my number one hit on the line of the charts. I'm a FedEx, my lover, how you sign for my heart. From my number one eye, keep your dumb fly. It's fresh to death, you like after death. I resurrected my goal, Jesus of Nazareth. Now we fresh as a prince while they jazzy jazz. And you don't be saying when they ask me questions. And you be giving me my space. You don't be running on my space. You know some other I hate when they violate. But tonight, man, I ain't in the mood for it. Don't matter who wore it, you wore it. Look how you coordinated it. Man, that's my favorite. I love the way that it fits on you. Baby girl, that's on you.
Come on.
Look how she get to me. She might be nothing to you, but she the to me. Tell me how you love that. Number one, can't put nothing above that. You deserve a verse from me. We gon' party like it's our anniversary.
Number one,
come on, come on.
Smash it.
Come
on, number one, girl, off the charts.
Get a
classic. Number one,
come on. Come on, come on.
Smash it. Number one,
girl,
hold your heart and smash it.
Come on,
number one, girl.
TM Hyman Radio Network. I'm your girl, Hot Chocolate, and it is 10:15 p.m. here on the East Coast. It is 4:15 a.m. in my favorite exotic place, Dubai, where I will soon be. And we are also joined by the General TM Hyman and our A&R dude, Nokio the Entity, Grammy Platinum Award-winning producer from Drew Hill, as well as frontman for Black Angel Down. And if you would like to be a guest on the show, tell your story or want to share something interesting in your community or submit a hot topic, just email us here at tmhymanradiolive@gmail.com and we'll get right back with you. So now we're going to jump into a little bit of information that's going to be helpful to any of those artists or producers who are looking to have a little bit of shine and get some light. Nokio is also, like I said, our A&R specialist here, and we have segments on Monday where he will review your music and give you feedback, yay or nay, or, you know, just a tweak here or there, and that's definitely something that any artist, whether they're an up-and-coming artist or an established artist, can benefit from. But tonight he's actually going to touch on a little bit of information on what you should be getting or what you should be looking for when you're getting signed or you're in the process of shopping yourself as an artist. So, Nokia, let's go to you.
Okay. So, in my experience from the beginning, like, I came up a little bit different because before I was an artist, I had a buddy of mine who was at A&R, and he used to let me sit in on A&R meetings. I was probably like 14 years old or something like that.
No. Those who don't know what A&R is, what that stands for, help them.
A&R stands for Artists and Repertoire. Now, what is supposed to be, a lot of people, I think these days, might not get to experience it like that because the A&R game has changed so much. But
yes.
when you really have an A&R, you know, somebody that's is pretty much like your right-hand man from beginning to the end, you know, as far as your project. And not so much just with the music or songwriting, but, you know, just the concepts for your image and styling, just everything that's going to make you the person that you need to be when it's time for you to go out there and do your thing.
Right.
Is that good?
No, absolutely. And so you said something. You said the game has changed. And so the way people used to submit music, let's say 10, 15, 20 years ago, is really different because the game has shifted. How do you get music to a person sitting in an A&R seat to really critique quality music this day and time?
I mean, I think it's really hard now because, you know, you have some A&Rs that definitely go, you know, out of, you know, the equivalent of going out now, which, you know, going online, YouTube, SoundCloud, you know, all the different, you know, sites where people upload music. And you do have people who, you know, take the job seriously and really looking for talent everywhere. Other than that, usually, you know, you're not really going to get your music to someone that has signing power inside of a label. And, you know, just so people understand, like, as far as A&Rs and stuff like that, like, you have, you know, A&R managers who have different projects and stuff like that. But every A&R that's signed to a label is not somebody that has signing power. So
right.
You may get your music to somebody that works in the A&R department, and they might love it to death, but, you know, they might not have the power to actually, you know, give you or even offer you a deal. So usually in those cases, it's stuff that's going to be submitted by managers, you know, lawyers, you know, things like that, like something that's basically somebody that a person can trust to bring them music that's going to be worth something. You know, it's not the, I mean, I guess you can still send your CDs to labels, and, you know, it's definitely, I know when I worked there, it was a demo drawer. I don't know how many people ever went in there, but it does exist for people who think they send their music and it just, like, gets lost somewhere.
Now, Nokia, I've always wanted to ask an A&R, how often is it that you would take the chance on an artist to sign them after just one, not even a demo, because a demo to me is something hard copy, like, you know, you said that might end up in a drawer. You might find someone, you know, on the street that's, you know, just like a street performer, and you walk up on them. We'll give the example of how Puff said he found Carl Thomas, that he was singing in either his restaurant or a restaurant. I don't know if it was Justin's per se, but he was somewhere in a supper club and Carl Thomas was performing, and he was so impressed by him that he signed him right there. How often does that really happen, especially in this day and age?
That's rare, really, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how we, like, as Drew Hill, like, we never had a demo or nothing like that. Like, we just always went to people's offices and just sang. So,
right.
You know, we got our deal off that last time where we was going to go try to go get a deal, and it worked out. So I guess, you know, we had one of them stories where it was like, okay, they gave us Tell Me and said, sing it back in 15 minutes, and if you could do that, you have a deal. You have a song out in 30 days. That doesn't happen. Real, like hardly ever, and that's just the truth. That doesn't mean that that just comes down to being in the right place at the right time, and just being prepared, because you never know. People get discovered in the weirdest places sometimes because they were just ready.
Right. No. Help artists who like to be their own spokesperson. Help them to understand the real power of having representation that's not you, yourself, and I.
Yeah, that's a great question, because I've always been the king of I had one of my mentors, he used to say to me all the time, he was like, you know, most managers are damagers. Which, you know, to a certain extent is true, but in order to fully understand the concept, you have to understand the music business, really. And I wouldn't even try to have that conversation right now because it's very long. But when I was signed to Def Jam, they used to always say to me, Nokio, you need to, like, get a manager because we don't, like, want to have these conversations with you because we all got a different relationship and everything changes. And I was always like, look, well, I mean, I'm sitting here and you're going to have to sit in front of me anyway, so, you know, you might as well just deal with me. Now, as I got older, you know, what I realized was, it's very hard to be the bad guy as an artist and still be the bad guy as your quote unquote manager too. Like, you can't do both. Like you always have to have a buffer in between you as an artist. Now, as you, like, I was having a conversation with somebody the other day, and basically we were talking about the same thing. And I said, you know, I can't be the person to stand out in front and take the bullet for certain stuff because I'm the artist. Like, I'm sure that Jay-Z handles most of his business, but he always has John McNeely with him, who's going to...
Right.
Really handle the business. So, in essence, I'm just saying, like, you can get to a point where you can deal with your business, but you, in order to be an artist, in order to be creative, even, I would fall short of saying even more than the business part of it, you want to have somebody confident that just allows you to be creative and allows you to be an artist, but at the same time can explain things to you in a way, in the midst of everything that you're doing, to where you can understand it.
Yeah.
Right. And too many artists really don't understand that term you used about managers being damages. We're not going to let that go. I want to come back to that because I think that just comes down to making good decisions like anything. Like you got to make a good decision when you go to work on a certain job. You know, you have to make a good decision when you enter into, you know, intimate relationships. You have to make a good decision when you select a manager. You got to make sure they're really a manager. So, absolutely, managers can be damages. But when we come back, I want to know, from Nokia, who, ladies and gentlemen, is someone with signing power because he has his own, first and foremost. I want to know from someone with signing power who the hottest new artist is on the scene from your perspective, not unit-wise. The hottest new artist from the perspective when they hit, you was like, damn, I wish I had a sign them. Who is that new artist, and what do you look for? What do you look for in new artists? When we come back, that's what we're going to hear from Grammy Award-winning artist producer Nokia. This joint right here, yo, this is one of my favorite joints. This is Nokia, Oxymoron, my favorite. We'll be right back. Team Hot Radio Live.
Me and her, Oxymoron. I give her that beat, pussy platinum. But she too cold. Bipolar, parachute. Nice to know ya. Me and her, Oxymoron. I give her that beat, pussy platinum. But she too cold. Bipolar, parachute. Nice to know ya.
I got a story about a girl on a pole. It's like a goddess in an ass like, whoa. ATM in my pocket's taking all my dough. Ask me if I got a girl and a nigga say no. So she proceeded to put on a show. Acrobatic tricks mixed with some porno. I'm drinking a Patron mixed with Jack D. A and B conversation, see she want that D. I took some E and now I'm an effer. She called me a G cause I got her with no effort. Blessed with the tongue but I ain't gonna sweat her. But if she do it right I might just tell her that I love her. Know that I'm lying but tonight I'm sinning. Tomorrow's Sunday so I'll ask for forgiveness. She wanna take me home and you know I might tell ya. She asked me if I'm a girl again so I said this.
Me and her, Oxymoron. I give her that beat, pussy platinum. But she too cold. Bipolar, parachute. Nice to know ya. Me and her, Oxymoron. I give her that beat, pussy platinum. But she too cold. Bipolar, parachute. Nice to know ya.
I got a story about a girl in a home. She told me tie up, I'm like, baby, hell no. She told me chill out and be calm, it's alright. So I shut the fuck up and I explored for the night. That's the name, submission, and dominatrix. I took the blue pill, so I guess I'm in the matrix. Live with no regrets, dive in and just take this. She said that to me as she got naked. I took some E and now I'm a effer. She called me a G cause I got her with no effort. Blessed with the tongue but I ain't gonna sweat her. But if she do it right I might just tell her that I love her. Know that I'm lying but tonight I'm sinning. Tomorrow's Sunday so I'll ask for forgiveness. She got me in a home and you know I'm like hell yes. She asked about my girl again so I said this.
Me and her, Oxymoron. I give her that beat, pussy platinum. But she too cold. Bipolar, parachute. Nice to know ya. Me and her, Oxymoron. I give her that beat, pussy platinum. But she too cold. Bipolar, parachute. Nice to know ya.
I got a story about a nigga in the bed. Woke up the next morning like, how'd I get here? Then I got a text that said, are you alright? You ate the pussy so good that I paid you for the night. Not to mention the fact you turned me out. I said, I wish I knew what you were talking about. She said, just leave your girl and be sober this time. We could do it all again and I'll pay double this time.
Me and her, Oxymoron. I give her that beat, pussy platinum. But she too cold.
What's up, New York? What's up, Connecticut, Jersey? I see you. What's going on, Charlotte, North Carolina? What's going on, Virginia Beach? What up, L.A., Santa Monica, San Diego? What's cracking, everybody? 917-889-3926. 917-889-3926. Oxymoron, that dude Nokia hanging out inside Money Monday. For folks hitting me up talking about them nasty because I like that song. Yo, the song grooves. Get out of here.
Tell them get over it. We're all grown.
Yeah, it is nasty, but you know what? It's
stop hating.
It's the truth. It's the truth, though. It's something that it's a reality, and you
it
know,
is.
That's just what it is. It might not be your
fact.
Reality. Might not like it.
No,
down.
Fact.
You ain't had that attitude.
We digging that song over here, TM Power Radio Network, baby. Hey, Nokia, who is that artist that when they hit, you was like, damn, I wish I had a slot. What you looking for in the artist, though?
I mean, right now, I mean, I would have to say, if I had to pick one, I mean, there's a bunch of them that goes across all kinds of genres, but definitely the little dude, Mac Wiles. But you know why? Because my son.
That's Mac Wiles, promotions director right there.
It sure is. He can hire me. I might even work per diem just because I know he's going to blow.
I know he's going to blow, so you can pay me on the back end. I was in the studio with my son, and he pulled out his phone, and he said, Daddy, have you heard this song? And, you know, plugged it into the board or whatever, and I was like, yo, like, this make me feel like I felt when I first fell in love with R&B. I was just hard,
yeah,
but the melodies and everything was there. I was like, somebody really paid attention to the fact that, you know, that sound is important.
He's talented, bro. I was joking, Hot Chocolate. I was joking, though, because before I heard the project, you know, she was like, yo, listen, this is the hottest-ish that has hit in a long time. I mean, she was all over it. But when he came on, dude, and we heard, you know, the dude is talented.
He really is. And his project is very, very solid. His for his first effort, that joint is mean. It's mean.
Yeah, because it's not just about talent, the sound. I mean, the sound that I mean, like you said, this is how I'll describe it at this point. Based on what you just said, no, but because it's somewhat similar and clearly Hot Chocolate, it was like a breath of fresh air when it came to music.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's definitely not unlike anything that you've ever heard. You're not going to be able to categorize it with anything or anyone else.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's good he did that because, I mean, as a new artist, you know, it's like you have the choice of making what's happening or making what you believe in. And a lot of artists don't really take the route of what they believe in the beginning, and not because they don't want to, but because when you're dealing with somebody else's money and you don't really have, like, a clear vision of somebody, you know, like we were just saying, somebody that can campaign for that vision, you know, you tend to become what's going to make the money back.
Mm-hmm. Right. We talked about A&Rs versus those with signing power. One of the distinct shifts in the game that I want to point out, and I just want you to kind of, you know, elaborate on a little bit, but the shift in the game in the area of A&R. A&Rs no longer have to, you know, stash the garbage away, you know, in containers anymore because it normally doesn't even hit the desk. It doesn't hit the desk because in the day of social media and all of the websites and all of the places where you can download that piss and other places, they are going to the music. They're going to the artist. Artists no longer have to come to them. They're going through it. It's really about what social media has done is it has caused artists that have to have a fan base now before they're even relevant. And so they're really going to artists who already have, you know, followers already, because those are records sold if I sign you today. And so on that specific shift, man, and how you actually go about scouting good talent, because there's a lot of talent scouting you. You know what I'm saying? That you got to bob and weave from on a daily, I'm sure. But help people really understand, because this is real talk. We're trying to help people for real. Where are you going to look for real music?
I mean, you know, like, you know, I'm fortunate to, you know, I know a lot of people that are always around a lot of music, because I don't really get a chance to go out too much anymore. So, you know, I mean, like, I look at stuff online, you know, I listen to stuff that people send me, you know, but I think that the creative relationships that lead to me wanting to sign somebody really just lies more than anything in their work ethic. And you know, that's pretty much, that's like the greatest thing to me, because a lot of artists, you know, because of the social media thing and everything now, it's like you get a couple of people looking at you on YouTube, you know, whatever, a couple of people download your stuff, and it's like you get in the club for free and you're like a superstar, and it's like, no, that's not really it. So, like, for me, I just like to run into it. I can't necessarily say that I sit around all day long looking for artists and stuff, because I ain't going to say I'm not the easiest person in the world to work with, but, like, I don't really have a lot of time for all of the foolishness that I think people feel like is part of the music business. Like, all the flashy stuff and all of that, that's not what I do. At all.
And I think they get it misunderstood, where they see the flash and, you know, the quote unquote celebrity life, and that's not a third, an eighth of what it's about. It's so small of a percentage. The rest of it is hard work. And
no, I mean,
you have to know that as an up-and-coming artist.
Like, you know, like I like to tell up-and-coming artists all the time, when I first started, I didn't know how to do anything. I didn't really know how to sing. I couldn't write no songs, produce no songs, no nothing. I just had a desire to do it, and I went wherever I had to go to gain the knowledge of it. So, you know, artists now got it a whole lot easier than, you know, I did in the beginning. Like, you don't really have to go nowhere to do nothing. You know, as long as you got the internet, you can pretty much do everything that you need to do initially, other than do shows. And, I mean, you can really do that too if you put the time into it. So, I mean, go ahead.
Let me drive a point home. I don't just want to skip over, like, a major, major point that you just made. You said you didn't know how to do anything when you started. And now yeah. We see, you know, where you are now. And so a lot of growth in between. But what I don't think people really equate, again, you said you went wherever you had to go to get it, meaning you put in work. But at the end yeah. of the day, without telling too much, you know, too much of your personal business, give young people with a drive to do something to music who don't know where to start, they don't know anything right now, motivate them. How much are you charging major artists for a track as a producer? Not even talking anything about being an artist, but as a producer, with what you've taught yourself how to do. What are you charging on average for a track?
Oh, man. You know what? Like, it all depends, for real. because, and like, I never, like, I don't never really, like, talk about that because it don't make no difference at the end of the day, because for me, like, what I learned, especially, like, during my Def Jam times, is, like, if it's a project that I want to do, like, I'll do it for free, for real. Like, it all depends on the motivation. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, for as a producer, I mean, advance, I mean, like, it's cool that, you know, of course you should get paid when you go in and work, but, I mean, like, the advance is just kind of like your bet against the fact that the song might not do nothing.
Right, but just do me a favor and let's act like we do care about money, because the young folks I'm trying to motivate, I'm trying to get them focused, and they thinking about money. Tell them what you can on average charge per track based on your knowledge and your capacity and your ability right now. Self taught.
I mean, I could probably get 25,000, you know what I'm saying? Like, more than that, depending on the artist.
Absolutely. And the budget.
Yeah, and the budget. And then, you know, that's not, like, factoring in, you know, independent artists and stuff like that where, you know, you usually don't charge as much.
Right.
You know, but, I mean, I put it like this. At the height of everything, like, I don't think I ever charged more than, like, $50,000. I never really wanted to, like, price myself out the game. And if it's something that you believe in, I mean, at that point, you know, you're like a producer getting, like, you know, 4 points or 5 points instead of the standard 3 or whatever. So, you know, you put yourself in a position to, you know, kind of make more money off the project if it actually does something. But, you know, you have, you know, other producers that, you know, charge $150, $250, you know, a track. It's like $150,000, $250,000. So, you know, it all depends on,
Kanye.
You know, what you want to do as a producer. Like, for me, becoming a producer was different because I never, you know, just like I never had a demo for Drew Hill, like I never made like a beat CD or like went around shopping tracks. Like I've never
right.
done that, like ever.
Right.
Like everything
but
for me was always.
Understand, ladies and gentlemen, I don't mean to cut you off, brother, but you're so humble. I love it. Ladies and gentlemen, understand that he is on a humble that does not truly exist in this game because everybody's paper chasing. So, again, I'm just honored to be connected to this dude. But all I'm trying to do is drive home a point that you can be anything you want to be. You got to be willing to put in the work. But, dude, you hit a great segue for me into the next question. You're talking about points. You said points. So what he said and what we're talking about is a fee for a track, so just an upfront fee for the work being done. He said on average $25,000. He's never charged no more than $50,000, but he can because it gets stupid what people ask for tracks. But understand this, when the track is produced and the song is played on the radio constantly around the clock all over the world, that's cha-ching. He mentioned the word points. When we come back, we're going to talk about what is points and how do you get as many points as you can on a project. Nokia, Hot Chocolate TM. We'll be right back.
Hey,
good.
Hey, yo. This is the remix. I ain't say that in a minute. Miguel, Chris Montana, Bad Boy, Yo, Test Smooth.
Check it out. Me and your love is like perfection. Like perfection. My protection. My protection. My resurrection. Let's rock. I need it when I be stressing.
You the ingredients to my blessing. Murdered the streets out, murdered the beach out. Jumped in convertible jeeps to peace out. Used to get you open, all gold bins. Gold ropes and gazelles with no lens.
You know that bad boy game,
cold as cocaine. Smooth like Coltrane, groovy like Soul Train. I'll kick in the door, waving the 4-4. If I ever hear you say that you don't love me,
come
no
on,
more,
Sean.
Let's rock, don't stop, come on. Oh yeah, you know we back,
baby.
B.I.G. Flying with your main squeeze. Watch her face freeze. Watch her bite a hundred, baby, they don't make these. Versace robe, Medusa, the lion head. True pimpin', no blue ribbon, just time red. And you can tell by the swag, baby. Shorty gon' bust it open for a bag, baby. Jump in the whip, dippin' for the haters. Hey, damn, why they wanna stick me for my paper? Lil' mama scooped me in the big body.
Come on.
Blew her back out, now she tellin' everybody. Montana.
TM Hyman Radio Live, that is the Adorn remix, Miguel featuring Diddy, Puff, Puffy. Happy birthday, by the way, to Puff today, celebrating, as well as French Montana on that track. It is 10:48, and I am joined by the general himself, TM Hyman, and our A&R specialist, Nokio from Drew Hill and Black Angel Down. And if you missed any part of the show, you can always go back and check out the podcast. Definitely do that. We appreciate our over 73,000 listeners who have gone back and checked out TM Radio Live Network. And Nokio, before we go, again, we were talking about points for, you know, your deal as a new artist and how to get the most points and what you should at least be looking for and the minimum weight of points. First, tell us what points are, and then tell us, you know, what you need to be looking at as far as what you're going to get or what you should try to negotiate.
Okay, so points, in essence, as an artist, that's pretty much like your percentage of the album. So let's just say, like, the album is, like, a full 100%, like anything else is whole.
Mm-hmm.
So you figure as a new artist, you're probably going to come in around 12 points or so, or, you know, whatever it is on the album. And the other, 88% or whatever comes from the record company. I mean, what goes to the record company or whatever. So what most artists have to understand is something that I had to learn the hard way coming to the game is that even though the deals have changed a lot now and everything is a 360 deal, you know, it's not just like the standard deals that we did that just was basically your album and that was it. Now the deals encompass, you know, everything. But, like, what I didn't know in the beginning was that when you get those points, that's basically, like, the percentage of the money you're going to make back after the record company recoups. But, like, the record company, they make that 88% regardless of whatever, you know, way before you get your money. And the money that you recouping back comes out of that 12% that you got. So, you know, you hear most artists, you know, when you hear their stories later on in life or whatever, they tell you that, you know, they were like always unrecouped from the record company or whatever, because each album that you make, and I'm kind of going to a whole bunch of stuff that is all connected, each album that you make, it has something called cross collateralization, It's a big word. But basically what it is that if you make first album and they spent $1 million and you only made back $800,000, then that other $200,000 gets tacked onto your next album, your next album, your next album. But the company is constantly spending money. So basically, you know, most artists don't make money off of record sales proper. You know, you get other stuff from, you know, publishing or whatever else. So they have something that's called, you know, the nickname for it's like industry standard, which is like a deal that you get and, you know, the points are low or whatever else it is, and you're looking at everybody like they're crazy. But basically the concept behind that is in the beginning nobody knows you no matter how great your music is, and we taking all the risk. Now, with the way the business is now where you have a lot of artists coming in who have established fan bases and sold certain amount of records and maybe even toured, you can go in and negotiate a better deal in the beginning because basically you already have your infrastructure and your money invested. You just need somebody to come in and invest more money and give you a better infrastructure and back office stuff like marketing and promotions that you might not have yourself.
Right.
So,
right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Hence is why you got to take care of your freaking business and have good representation.
Read a lot of books. That's what I did in the beginning. I just read a lot of books. Any book that anybody pointed me in the direction in, I had anything to do about the music business. And even if I didn't read it all the way through initially, you know, I would just have it there as a reference to stuff that I didn't understand along with asking questions. But one thing real quick before we go back to what we were talking about managers earlier, and that managers, damages thing. With a lot of artists, like a lot of artists don't really care about the business. Now, they are a lot more now that do because they, you know, out here starting it from the ground up. But for the most part, a lot of artists don't care about the business. And, you know, for some artists, trying to deal with business and the creative part at the same time is just too much. Hence, you have, you know, the managers who, where people say, you know, it's like you're keeping an artist in the dark. But a lot of times, you know, sometimes it's really keeping them in the dark, but a lot of times it's like artists, they just don't care. Like they don't pay attention to it until it's an issue when they pick up the phone one day and they want to buy something and it's like, oh, no, you can't afford that. And then it's like, oh, what happened? And then, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, well, we were getting all these letters and da-da-da. You know, you was like, man, look, I don't care where the girl's at or whatever it is.
Right.
Right.
Just like that. Hey, got to take care of your business. Got to take care of your business. Got to have the right people around you. Got to make good decisions. Hey, bro, that right there was worth money. Those jewels that you just dropped, worth money. It is what people put on pages. You know, I mean, there's books full of that information, that knowledge, because, I mean, we go into things half-cocked, half-baked, half-prepared, you know, thinking that we going to make something happen, and we end up looking foolish because we don't even know the game that we're playing.
With us, you know, just again, real quick, like, coming from the inner city, you know, it's very easy to get caught up and lost in everything that's going on because at the end of the day, the only thing you're thinking about is the fact that you got an opportunity to get in a better situation. Now, for me
Absolutely.
In the beginning, I knew the contract was crazy, for real. But I was in a group. So, you know, when I'm getting, like, phone calls from people at, like, 2 o'clock in the morning, like, why you ain't signed a contract yet? Not nobody in the group, but just, you know, people involved. Like, why you ain't signed a contract yet? You're holding everybody's life up, you know, whatever else. It kind of puts you in a difficult position. And, you know, I ended up being in a contract where, yeah, you know, I had part of my publishing, but I had to sign the administration of my publishing away, which, you know, real quick for the people out there, meant that even though I would get money and I owned the percentage of my publishing that I did, there was somebody who could basically just take the part that they own and, you know, my actual publishing entity as a company or whatever, and go and do whatever they wanted to do with it. They could do deals, make money. I might get some money, I might not. And, but that was, you know, that was the trade-off for being able to have a song out in 30 days after I was about to give up. So, I mean, it's hard to begin it. It's hard, man, you know, and, you know, you make bad decisions, you make hasty decisions, and you just hope that you're able to be in it long enough to take all those lessons and, you know, not only do what you're supposed to do, but give it to somebody else so that, you know, it's just like your kids. It's like, all right, well, you shouldn't really have to go through all of that I had to go through if I already know what it is. I mean, the, you know, rules change every once in a while or whatever, but the foundation of all of it ain't never going to change.
That's no right. Doubt.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, platinum award-winning, Grammy award-winning, he's an artist, he's a producer, clearly businessman, you know what I'm saying? And again, he said when he started, he didn't know any of it. And so, you know, he dropped it on you tonight. Hey, no, we appreciate it, man. And we're just happy to have you a part of the team here. Hey, we're back on Wednesday, 9 p.m., same place, same time. Thanks to Marvin Doja, Synergy First. Hey, we up out of here. Hot Chocolate, take us home. Appreciate you, Nope.
We are that team here at the T.M. Hyman Radio Network, the general himself, T.M. Hyman. I am your girl, Hot Chocolate. Save James, miss you, bro. Hope the kids get better soon. Nokia, the entity, it is always real with you, dropping those jewels of knowledge for our new artists and established artists, Madam CeeLo Boston, Toya, Didi. We are up out of here. Everybody have a great night, and we'll see you on Wednesday.
Madam Boston, hey, rock with us Wednesday.
T.M. Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. T.M. Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. T.M. Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Talk radio show.